Hey all, welcome to Rants of a Podcast. This is Janu Alisa speaking, and today's episode is awesome because it's episode 3 and it's our first guest. Today is Rants of a Leading Lady with guest Falene R.H. Tate.
I sound like a lawyer. I like it. R.H. Tate.
Well, let's start with where the initials come from and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the initials initially came from the fact that they won't let me drop any of my names to keep the ones I want. So every time I change it, get married, do something crazy, then bam, I got another name. So I began with a long name coming from Liberia, but then I just kept all the rest. And then it just kind of stuck because my one child is a Harris, my other child's a Reeves, so I kept the Reeves and the Harris in between the Tate. There you have it.
Okay.
When I was starting out, one of my children informed me that, you know, if I got rid of Harris, even though it was a Tate, then they wouldn't see their name go up in lights. I had to keep Reeves and Harris so my children could see their name connected to my name when the credits roll up on the various movies or credits or anything I put my name on. So therefore, that's why I keep all of the names.
So really, this episode is you guys get to meet the leading lady that started my life. Like literally, and started my adventures into the performing arts and stuff like that, as well as get some connections to like life and what that means to be the leading person in your own life.
I like it.
It's your interview. You're like, I like it. All right, continue like talking. I'm like, no, it's not you.
So you're gonna literally get snippets of mama / proud mama / her coach or mentor, et cetera, because those are all the hats you get to wear. I guess you would say as a leading lady, that's one of the big hats is at some point you get to collect your own people and hopefully do it well enough that they care enough to have you on their podcast, but also collecting other people and this is what we do all day, rant about it. How about that?
So what does it even mean to be a leading lady?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. What does it mean to me to be a leading lady? It carries so much. You know, it's like not only is your responsibility, you are carrying this production technically, because I don't know if I fully embody all of that. I don't believe in all of the concepts of, oh, okay, you are a leading lady and therefore it's all about you. I don't think there's any time anything is all about me unless it's a one-person show. And absolutely, it is all about me, but it's still about the guy with the lights on me, because I can't lead and I can't be a star. I can't do all of those things if the lights aren't on, if this doesn't work, if the nails are still in the set and not stepping on it. So it takes a lot to create a lot. So I'm still of the culture, I guess, within my field, within this field, that we all have this part. We all have this leading part. Therefore, with all that said, leading lady is, of course, the person in the front, the person that has to carry it. When the buck stops, and the CEO is the one, I don't care who, if all the employees mess up, guess what? The person that's still ultimately going to have the biggest charge, the biggest blame is who? The head, the leading person, the CEO. So I guess that's primarily what it carries for me is the fact that you have to be on your P's and Q's.
Let's get into question time. Question time. Dun, 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 dun. All right. So, mom, since we've already established that you're my mom.
I'm going to just be mom from now. I want to be mom from now. I'm going to be like,
okay. Sorry. Fine. Not mom. Okay.
No.
Falene R.H. Tate. I have a few questions for you. This is my interview voice. Is it working?
Like the other way.
This just in. We're here with Falene Harris. No, Falene Reeves Harris Tate. Falene R.H. Tate.
Otherwise known as Falene R.H. Tate, otherwise known as Falene, otherwise known as Songbird, a whole bunch of things. I got names, y'all. I got names.
Question time. I'm going to actually spread these out since I'm not the one answering all of them right now. I might answer them with you, but this is about this leading lady, not me.
We'll get into that.
We're going to start with you. Which artist inspired you the most growing up?
Artist that inspired me the most. So I never imagined being an actor, a female actor, as we are called these days in our PC world. That was never my plan. My plan was I was going to be a famous opera singer and have four children and travel the world singing opera, preferably. Brigitte Best was actually one of the first I heard. And I was like, I want to be that. So to answer that question, I have to go back to the world of where I wasn't necessarily, but again, opera is still acting, et cetera, et cetera. But the artist that inspired me the most to do and be whoever I am in whatever genre I happen to pick up that day or that month is Jesse Norman. Jesse Norman, the opera singer, the opera diva of them all. And I think mainly she was it for me. When I heard her, she was the first voice that I'd ever heard, the opera singing voice I'd ever heard. I was 5 years old back home in Liberia, West Africa. And I heard her. Somebody was riding a truck down the street, and I heard this most glorious voice. And I thought, man, I want to sing like that. I want to do that. And I heard her. So when I finally made it to America, I got to hear it again and know who it was. And then, of course, I just went down the rabbit hole of, you know, interviews and things she'd say. And the one main thing that stuck out to me is back in the day when there was like the war of who's the biggest diva and you know, this person's a diva, not in a good way. This person's this person's a little difficult, as they like to call it. And I remember Jesse saying when they tried to get her going down that path of speaking badly of her fellow leading ladies, I should say. And it was just the best answer. She says, when have you arrived? She said, because they were basically saying this other person, I will not name names, this other person, but also a favorite of mine, this other person basically is this diva and she's arrived, you know. And they said, asked her, when did it feel to you that you had arrived? When did you know you had arrived? And I remember so clearly she paused. Just beautifully, she paused and she said, you know, you never arrived. She said, I haven't arrived. She said, every day I get the blessing of learning. I've chosen a discipline that I get to learn every day. There is no day that I am now the, you know, you get better and better, you grow and grow, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, I love the answer of you've never arrived per se. If I've arrived, I'm dead, is how I feel about it.
So that's kind of like what I was talking about in, I don't know if you've heard it, but my first episode was like Rants of an Amateur. And I was talking about how in this field, you're never finished, you know?
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
Even when you're professional, there's still a lot of skills to develop and grow and stuff like that.
Always. I think we collectively, I just believe you should always be growing. There should always be an essence of being hungry, wanting anything, even if it's not just necessarily a career, but just life, the fervor of life. I find sexy. I find beautiful. I'm probably passionate about way too many things in life, but I just think,
what does that even mean?
Is being dead. You know what I mean? Like I loved your first episode of just that. We touched on it. You touched on it so lightly, but in essence, I was screaming on the other side going, yes. Like, basically, as a professional, I'm a professional, meaning they pay me really well to do the various things I do. So I get to still sing. I get to still act. I still get to do the various things I do. I now do visual art and running in that because I really believe in that. I believe being a lead in anything. Let me go back really quick. I realized this is bad, but I'm going to go back really quick. The question is, what does it mean to be a leading lady? And for me, that just carries so so many levels of what we can and should be in life, period. So leading lady to me means I'm always on the cusp of developing something amazing to bring new to the table. That's all, and I'm always able to do that. So I take the responsibility of that on, meaning every time I remember the first big movie I shot was Runaway Jury, and I remember sitting at one of the jury scenes, and there were many ridiculously long, not ridiculous, wonderful, long days, and the cast was amazing, and watching Johnny and John Cusack, and Dustin, and people work, and it's just like, was amazing to me. But one of the ones that really hit me was Cliff Curtis, who's sitting at the table. I'm sitting right next to him at the jury table. And there was a take. We had to, I mean, like, I think we were at doing this scene for a good 16 hours. All day. It was going to be an all-day thing. But just time after time after time after time, this person just rips in this exact scene time after, I mean, like take after take after take after take. And I remember thinking, because I was coming from stage, and you know, we get to be on that night, and what you see is what you get, good, bad, and different. So that means you always got to bring your A game, even on your worst night. That's how I study. I study to the point that on my worst day, you are still going to get a phenomenal performance, period, dot. That's all I can offer. And you might not like it, but I'm going to give you a stellar performance, even on my worst day. That's my job. That's what all that means. But on the cusp of that is being able to bring something new to the table. If I have arrived, if I am who I'm supposed to be right now, if I am everything there is to be, what else is there do I have to offer, number one? What else is there to bring to the table? We see brilliant artists do this constantly. And I'm going to put a disclaimer. All your Beyonce fans, don't get mad, because I'm not like, I am not a Beehive person. But what I am is a Beyonce Knowles person, Beyonce Carter person. I am a person that believes, I love the work. I love when I see LeBron James or, you know, the people I admire, the people I look up to are people that go, I know you see me or this thing as the epitome, but it's like, what's fresh? And I don't mean what's fresh, meaning what social media and everybody else is telling me. I'm telling you, what's fresh to me? What excites me enough to want to get up and do this again? What am I passionate? What do I care about enough to make this happen again?
So then back to what you said at the start of this, like you said, you might be too passionate, but after you've gone into it and you've showed your passion, like how? How can you be too passionate?
Well, I mean, trust me, if you sit and talk to me long enough, you know this from example. I will get on a soapbox in a heartbeat about things that just move me. But they move me so deeply. It's like, calm down, little woman, calm down. But I do believe you must have passion. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what life would be without passion, without that fire, that you know, one person want to call it the it factor. One other person calls it that spark. Somebody else calls it, but it's that light that is so, sometimes it's dim, because, you know, we all go through stuff at various moments. Nobody's ever always happy, always anything. So there's always that. But if you can, like, find that spark, that flash, that, you know, that thing, that's kind of, you know, what I feel is my responsibility, wearing the hats I wear as leading lady of whatever I'm leading. I believe that's my charge. It's my charge for myself. It's my charge for the people I work with. It's probably big and lofty of me to expect or anything. And so I don't. I respectfully require it, but because I'm giving you that. I'm always going to give that. So yes, if you're working with somebody, you want that, but that's that level of amateur professional. The amateur stays there, even when they become a professional. You stay, you get really comfortable. And
that's
you go,
what I'm saying. So there's what you said you didn't say it on here, but you said in general, as we've talked before, and you're done like auditions where you get called to something, and back in high school, I got into a fight because someone decided I was too much. I was doing too much and all this kind of stuff. Does that two personality help become a leading person in life, in roles, in whatever? Is that kind of like the it factor, or Is there a possibility of being too much? And is that why you don't get hired for other things?
That's interesting, because I think there's, I say too generally, because there is a level of two that I feel, you know, I am authentically me. I make a point to be that, and I don't go out of my way to be me for attention of it, for, you know, I'm not going to wear this outfit because I know this outfit's going to get this. I wear it for me. And I genuinely do that. I stay off, even though I have social media feeds and stuff, I'm on there and off as need be, because I don't want it to inform my artistry. So, of course, I'm working on a really large piece, large pieces right now, collective piece of painting. I'm painting now right this second and getting ready for a show. And when I do that, I have to trust me. That's the responsibility, like you're saying, of that. So the factor of two to me can be the two, the T-O-O, where you're putting it on for the response of it. You know, there's that two where I'm two, I'm so, but I'm all of those things for the reaction of it. I am two. By the grace of God, I am two, not because I woke up one morning and said, I'm going to be two. I wear a diamond on my face. So, no, I wear it because I think it's beautiful. And I happen to love, it's my birthstone. I happen to love diamonds. So I have diamonds on my feet. I have a diamond on my face. And we'll regularly check out my Instagram. You'll see it. But in general, it's that kind of feat. There's that two that's that. And then there's the two where I am doing this for that. And they all work, I guess. I just truly believe in being authentically 100% real. Like, I don't want to have to fake me for anybody, because it's kind of like lying. It's lying about myself. It's lying to you. And in general, this is what I do for a living. Technically, we put on a, you know, I put on a role and I find the truth within. That's my job, to find the truth within these characters. I don't believe I can find the truth in these characters if I don't find, believe, trust, love, and hate the truth within myself. Truth for me is I understand, I realize what I'm walking around with. I realize sometimes, like we just were talking about my passion. I can be very passionate. I can be a lot about things that I just believe in.
So then two is mostly just like perspective then, or like the idea that someone saying like, oh, you're two, whatever, it's just, I mean, I don't know if I've said it in any of the episodes, but you're not going to be right for every role. No, you're not. The fact that they even say you're too da-da-da-da is you're putting your weird perspective on me or you or, you know, like on the other person.
It's not weird. And it's like, they're right. They're right. This is your project movie. Like, yeah. I don't take it personal. If I am not the, and I used to get really hurt and mad with, in my younger years with my friends. And I had a friend, very close friend. We're all in the industry. And once when I lived in New Orleans for a while, I mean, like I was getting all the jobs, you know, but I show up. I didn't show up for a job that just called for the black girl with braids or the do-do-do, because I see myself as a performer. So if it calls for, I don't care what it calls for. I've played literally every race you can think of. I have played it. I played Madame Butterfly's cousin. She's Asian. I've played so many various roles. But I think it's that openness of going, I've never really been typecast. I think the most I've done that's happened is probably closer here on the East Coast, but not really. I've had the privilege of being able to walk in a room and being able to be seen, just seen as me. I've had that privilege so much that it doesn't bother me. It does. I mean, it always does. You know, we're in a business of, like you said, we're totally in a business of rejection. Most of the time you go in there so somebody can tell you no, thank you, and I'll go in there and do it again. See you. So it's generally that. But the two for me, I guess there's a variation of two. Two for me is, do I take it personal? I take it personal. One, because no, you don't understand me, but that just means no, we shouldn't be in a relationship together. We, you know, you marry these people when you're doing projects. When I get a role, we're together for months. You know what I mean? It's not just, and sometimes it's short, but either way, I feel like this is a marriage of a sort. So if something's two, something's, you know, you learn the balance of it. But two for me is a variant of Two, meaning I'm doing all of this, you know, like the top myself on social media because I need to do more, be more. And then there's the two of, no, this is just you're a lot to take sometimes because you don't necessarily back down from thoughts or feelings, or I don't apologize for me ever. I don't believe in doing that. And I don't go in there spooing stuff. You go in there and you do your job. But to me, that's why, yes, you're right. It has helped me, the leading lady.
What do you want to plug for us today? Any social medias? Speaking of social medias, do you want to plug? Didn't you refer to a book?
Find me on at Falone. That's really hard.
Can you spell that?
Yes. It's S as in Frank, A, H, N as in Nancy, L, O, H, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, E as in Edward. You can tell I'm used to doing this. And you have a name like Falone. You have, like, you know, your own little what you call it. But at Falone on Instagram. I think I'm just Falone Tate on Facebook. But most importantly, I am also an author. Wrote my book, I Am a Verb, which is a book of spoken word as well as thoughts, as well as some of my original artwork that I had never shown to anybody. Even though there is about to be an art show coming to a neighbor near you, or to a station near you, to something that I will at some point on my Instagram or on my social media share about. But that's where to find me. Come find me.
Awesome.
I love being found. I love it. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. And you guys already know, this is Janu Alisa. You can find me at Janu Alisa on Instagram. You can also find me at Rants of a Podcast on Instagram. Do not look up my Facebook. I will not probably add you. But yeah, you can definitely find me on Instagram. You can find me on Amazon with my book, Rants of My Post-Adolescence by Janu Alisa.
I got my official copy too. It's awesome.
You guys, that was just part one. Next week? Yeah, next week. Since I couldn't fit it all in this episode, I'm doing Rants of a Leading Lady Part 2. So catch you next week on Rants of a Podcast. Thank you.